Lord our God, as we come together to look at your word, may it be you that we hear. May it be you that we respond to, so that when we go from this place, we go as changed people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking together, particularly at our passage from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. You might want to turn and look at it in the Bible. It's on page 1021. In verse 31 and 32, we find the word glory or glorified used by Jesus five times. In many senses, it's a bit of an unfamiliar word to us these days. And so I looked it up to see what it actually means. And you'll be pleased to know the first meaning that comes up on the online dictionary means, it says it's concerned with the praise of God. It then, however, goes on to talk about words such as admiration, success, beauty. In these circumstances, there's a sense in which when we glorify someone or something, we recognize what they've actually achieved, who they are, and maybe even what we would like to be like, so that we too receive the glory others place upon them. However, at this point, we need to hold on to that first purpose. Glory means the praise of God. To glorify Jesus and God is about knowing their rightful place, to be one of honor, majesty, authority. We're to worship because of who they are. Maybe if we use such words as creator, redeemer, savior, protector, author of life, that helps us to know that ultimately God is God, Jesus is Jesus, and for those reasons alone are we to praise them. Verse 31, where it reads, when he was gone, Jesus said. He, of course, is Judas. Judas has gone to betray Jesus, which, as we know, leads to his arrest and ultimately to the crucifixion. Is this glory? How can betrayal and the events of Good Friday lead to Jesus and God being glorified? It's perhaps easier to see where Easter Day fits in with the glory of God. But that's to miss the vital and necessary death of Jesus. January the 5th, 1970. I don't know whether that date means anything to you or not. But it saw the official launch of the Love Is cartoons. Yes, let's think. At one time, it seemed as if they were everywhere. Remember that comic strip with a man and a woman not wearing any clothes and anatomically incorrect, but they were definitely a man and a woman. And it said, Love Is on the top left-hand corner. And then under the cartoon of the two people, a changing response. Love is just what the doctor ordered. Knowing your heart is in the right place. Unconditional. These Love Is cartoons appeared in newspapers. I think they probably still do appear in newspapers. They were on greeting cards, mugs, posters, t-shirts. There were books published of them. Well, to some extent, these cartoons can be viewed as just a bit of fun. There's a sense in which love is a vital and necessary part of our human existence. Love enables us as humans to flourish, Just as a plant deprived of sunlight or water, or given too much, will fail to thrive, so do we as humans fail to thrive if there's an absence or abuse of love. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, chapter 13, speaks of what love is. Some of the responses are patient, kind, protects, hopes. Love never fails. They're often words we hear at weddings. On a day which is all about love, this passage is held up as a model of what married life should be like. Not only marriages, but also all aspects of human love are unable to maintain such a high, perfect standard. We get it wrong. Well, I most certainly do. We let people down and we fail. Jesus, however, is the perfect embodiment of love. The glory of Jesus and of God is seen in the love which God showed in sending his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And Jesus, he fulfills God's purpose by going to the cross and dying for all of humanity. Sin, those things which separate us from God, are taken away. That's love. It's a love which is perfect and is a demonstration of why God and Jesus are to be glorified. In one sense, that alone would have been enough. But Jesus rose from the dead. God brought Jesus back from death. And this was to enable us to be able to live with God forever. Jesus then goes on to say, "My children," in verse 33, "my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you can't come." The disciples and us are told we do not need to go to the cross. It's only Jesus who needs to go to the cross. And so we have much to thank Jesus for his demonstration of total and unconditional love. So we might be able to see why we need to glorify Jesus, to praise and to worship him. But there's more. Jesus gives a new commandment. Well, I don't know about you, but commandments. We live in a time and place where we don't like to be commanded to do things. We like to choose for ourselves. We like to choose what we're going to do and how we're going to live. But Jesus says, "I am commanding you." Maybe we and possibly the disciples thought back to the commandments God gave to Moses and the difficulty the people had in following those. Here we have Jesus adding yet more. What will it be this time? "Thou shalt not." It's not a not. Instead, it's to love one another. That's the commandment. We are called to love one another. Well, we've already said that we know humans need love to flourish, so we may just as well continue as we have before. I can love my family. Well, most of the time. I'll love the people who treat me in the way in which I wish to be treated. And my neighbour? Well, that's okay, because, you know, I really don't have much contact with them. Oh, hang on a minute. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That makes a rather huge difference. Jesus' love is perfect. Jesus loved those who others found difficult to love. Jesus loved those who betrayed him. Jesus' love was so great he was willing to die. Jesus' love was radical. When Paul speaks about love being kind, patient, not keeping a record of wrong, not easily angered, not rude or self-seeking, he's talking about Jesus. Does that apply to us? I think our only response is, help. Because this is a different form of love from the one that I'm able to feel, express, and experience. This is a love which can only come from God. If Jesus' death on the cross was for us, and he took all our sin, all the times when our love has failed, when we've let others down, have got angry or concerned only with ourselves, then we can only live and love when we come to rely fully and completely on Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit is the way in which Jesus' love can be our experience. The Holy Spirit is not a limited resource. Daily, we can ask to be filled with the Spirit to enable us to love as Jesus loves. The Holy Spirit enables us to see in different ways, to view others through God's eyes, to love those people who we find it hard to love. Maybe it's that we've have a lack of patience, or maybe angry or unkind words come quickly and easily. With the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we can be changed. We just need to be willing to ask and to allow the Holy Spirit to be at work. Jesus goes on to say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The love we have for one another is to be a witness to those who don't know Jesus. We have to recognize church as an institution, and we as members have failed. There's been much in the news recently about abuse within the church. There are the divisions that we see across the denominations. There's the small things, a word said in anger which has not been forgiven. Maybe a person who we find difficult to get along with. Where is Jesus in this? Jesus simply says, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. In one sense, it's a shame we're not going to be sharing the peace this morning, as often that can be a time when we can demonstrate the love which we share because Jesus first loved us. Maybe as we stand and chat with one another at the end of the service, maybe that's our opportunity to show our love, perhaps to someone where we know we have not been following God's commands. For some, the issue may go deeper than just talking. Again, the Holy Spirit is with us. in that. If you feel a conversation with Susie or myself might help, then please do speak to either of us. Our witness is only our witness because of Jesus. We are to love because he loved us. We have been commanded to love because Jesus loves us. May we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be a people, a church who love Jesus, who glorify him, and who share his love and witness with one another and with those who have not yet experienced the reality of Jesus for themselves. Amen.